It's time for ER 101 with expert guests provided by the American College of Emergency Physicians. Here's Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER 101. We have a very interesting show. A new study came out, an ER study, that said 1 in 10 older teens misuses prescription painkillers and sedatives. So do you know, are your kids getting the message about the dangers and drugs and alcohol? Our next guest is an expert on that, Dr. Jose Charadas. He is a member, an active member of the American College of Emergency Physicians on the Public Relations Committee. And welcome. He's done a lot of interviews. Welcome, Dr. Charadas. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me on, Lee.
So this was kind of, you know, astounding to me, and we think about it, but nowadays, what are you seeing in the ERs that there's actually a rise? It isn't always these illicit street drugs, you know, that I remember during my training that we would see kids. It's prescription drugs. It's drugs from their parents. Is that what you're seeing lately?
Yes, Lee, that really is what we're seeing lately, and it truly is a combination of not just prescription medication, but also combining it with alcohol. I think a large part of it is about access, and as you say, we talk about parents and prescriptions. I think it's a very easy way to access these sometimes very dangerous medications.
Yeah, and this study looked at kids as low as the age of 14, as, you know, as old as the age of 20, and like 10% of them were being treated in the emergency room related to this. What, and the CDC reports something like 100 deaths a day because of combinations of drugs and overdose. What are you seeing in your practice?
We see a variety of presentations, sometimes just from excessive alcohol intake, sometimes just from medication overdose. But the problem becomes, I think, the problem of each drug or medication becomes when you start to combine it with other things. For example, sedatives, many of the drugs that have become popular in today's day and age, Ambien or Xanax, are being mixed with alcohol, and they both, alcohol and those drugs, fall in the class of sedative hypnotics, which in combination can produce very bad effects and can produce somnolence, very sleepy patients, and sometimes can progress to the point where they stop breathing and unfortunately die.
Do you think that there's a kind of this idea or a change in this idea? I know I've spoken to sometimes with teens that you've seen. I mean, the fact that it's a prescription and that a doctor prescribes it, is there this misconception with some of these kids that, oh, it's not going to be as dangerous as something that I buy from a dealer on the street? If this is something that, you know, my parent was prescribed, is that part of the problem?
Well, when you look at how children, adolescents come across drugs, of course, meeting with somebody to obtain a medication or a drug is certainly much more difficult and has a lot more risk involved than just opening up the medicine cabinet and seeing a bottle which looks quite the same as many other medications that are safe, much safer, and only maybe carry a small warning that when combined with alcohol, this can create a very sleepy state and to not operate heavy machinery. But certainly seeing the medication or the drug in somebody's house, I think does change, I agree with you, it does change the impression that it can create on somebody.
And then I think, you know, I saw a statistic somewhere that, and girls sometimes in particular too, figure, well, if it's a prescription, it's probably okay to try, you know, once or twice. And there are those consequences where they're mixing them with alcohol, and it's hard to find. And it's easy. I mean, I know the American College of Emergency Physicians had a big campaign that they did related to prescription drugs because it's rising so fast. Is that what you're seeing, too, in your practice, that of all kinds of drug issues and drug problems, prescription drug abuse is seems to be outstripping the old, you know, heroin and other types of street drugs?
No, of course. I think again, the ease of access, the fact that you can get it prescribed from a physician in what would seem like a much more normal practice than to go out and try to purchase, you know, heroin or cocaine, which is a much more difficult proposition, I think, for a teen. Certainly, prescription medications seem like an easier sort of find. Also, keeping in mind that, you know, once you drink a significant amount of alcohol, it becomes pretty difficult, even from a smell standpoint, to hide it. Whereas something like prescription pain medication is one pill and is odorless and is a much sort of more easy way to sort of find that feeling that kids might be trying to get.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in ER is a good place. We often, you know, it's a good place for intervention, too. You know, sometimes people seem to think, well, you know, the emergency room, it's kind of after the fact. And during the crisis, maybe it is after the fact. But I think it's a great place to then intervene with teens because it is the place we see it most. I mean, even, you know, people that have primary care doctors, even adults, you know, they come to emergency rooms. That's part of our problem is that, you know, we don't have this ongoing relationship with patients. So, you know, I think most doctors give the patient a benefit of a doubt when they're in pain or have a serious injury or problem. And that's why we do use opiates and prescription painkillers.
I think it's important to really increase awareness amongst parents to be aware that this is a problem. It's an epidemic across the country, and to have a conversation with their kids or even, hey, just put the medication somewhere else, especially if there is a known interaction like what we've been talking about. I agree with you that in the emergency department, it's the perfect place to intervene when somebody's having a bad reaction to these medicines. You don't call to make an appointment to go see your primary care doctor. You rush that person to the hospital. And sometimes in those moments of true shock as to how impressive these medications can be, especially combined, is really a good first chance to speak with everybody, the patient, the family, about the true dangers of these medications. And I think being in the emergency room and seeing these cases firsthand is an opportunity for us as emergency physicians to take the lead in this.
Yeah, and I think it's a good point. And what else can you, you know, tell parents? I mean, you hate to see them have so many of these drugs left over, right? So, you know, we do prescribe them if someone comes in with a broken ankle, but I think, you know, we have to tell parents that when you're done with the drug, you need to dispose of it. You can talk to pharmacies now about where, you know, you can, I think you can even bring some of these drugs back to the pharmacies now. So definitely don't keep these in your house because it can be too tempting. Having a teenage son myself who sometimes has parties, I know that all too well. Well, this is ER 101. I'm Dr. Levin Oker on Radio MD. Tune in to your health and stay well.